you will open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. Our text will be verse 30 through verse 45. And let's read our text together. Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. I want to talk to you tonight about rest. Why we can rest. I love what our Lord said to His disciples there. He said, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Do you need rest? This life is so weary, is it not? We get so tired. I'm tired right now. But that's not the kind of rest we're talking about here. Do you need rest for your soul? We just read about the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And this whole world says, peace and safety, it's all good over here. We better be careful, because the day is soon coming when many will enter into the exact opposite of rest, eternal destruction. I need rest. Now here in Matthew 26, our Lord is about to be betrayed. He's about to be taken away and led to the cross to be crucified. But before that could happen, we have this glorious account of what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here we find hope. Here we find our reason for rest. As we go through this, I pray God will enable us to find rest unto our souls. Let's start again in verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, I love that. My center margin says, when they sung a song, all the psalms speak of Christ, don't they? That's where our rest is, isn't it? They sung a hymn. They went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, You see, what happened here was no accident. It was written. It is written. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. The first thing I want us to see is that our reason for rest has nothing to do with us. It has absolutely nothing to do with us. Our faith, our faithfulness, is not the cause of our rest. Better yet, our unfaithfulness is the cause of our unrest. In times of trouble, you'll hear people say things like, "Well, he's a man of faith. He has his faith to lean on." Well, I don't know about you, but I don't feel that way at all. I don't have my faith to lean on. I have Christ to lean on. The reason for this is my faith is weak. I mean that. My faith is so weak. And it saddens me how so many people boast about their faith and think their faith is so strong. It's just not so. And we see that here with the Lord's disciples. We just read, all of you, every single one of you is going to be offended because of me this night. All of them. Every single one of them forsook him. Our Lord chose them. He called them by name. They followed him. He was about to die for them. And what did their great faith do? Forsook him. Forsook him. Not one of them stood with him. It's no wonder why the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith." And the sad fact of the matter is, this was true of the disciples, it's true of me, it's true of all of us. We're all guilty of thinking way too much of our faith. If you don't think so, just look at the Apostle Peter. I think the Lord's given us all these examples of things Peter said to cause us to see ourselves in him and how we must not trust in ourselves. Look here in verse 33. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." He thought, yeah, everybody else might offend you, but not me. Let's not be so foolish. We know exactly what we'll do, don't we? I will be offended. There are moments where we start to feel strong in the faith, aren't there? I mean, just take our conferences, for example. We come here, we hear these eight glorious Christ-exalting messages, and we walk out these doors, and we're feeling good, aren't we? We're feeling strong in the faith, and just like that, something happens. There we go. Our faith is weak. Look at verse 34. "Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Verse 35, "Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise said all the disciples." Peter wasn't the only one. All the disciples said, Yep, we're not gonna do this. We're not gonna be offended in you. Can we see ourselves, brethren? We must see ourselves. Now, the Lord was about to send a great trial Peter's way, and we're going to look at it here in just a second. But before we do, I want us to acknowledge this fact. God sends our trials for our good. He appoints each and every one. The purpose of the trial is to strengthen our faith. And you know how that happens? By looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Look down in verse 69 of our text. Our Lord had been betrayed. He was being led away. Verse 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. God tried his faith, didn't he? Peter thought, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. He said, Peter, don't think so highly of yourself. And God let it happen. Why? So that he would look at our Lord and see that look of mercy and grace that saved him in the first place. Whenever we begin to trust in ourselves, think highly of ourselves and our faith, let's remember Peter. Let's learn from Peter. If left to ourselves, we will fall. We will fall. Look over in Luke's account, Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, Peter, Satan wants you. He wants to snatch you out of my hand so bad. Did he tell Peter to do something? He said, Peter, you better get your act together here. Satan's going to take you. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If left to himself, Peter would have fell away. But Christ prayed for him. That's the only reason he didn't fall away. That's the only reason Satan couldn't have him. Because Christ prayed for him, that his faith fail not. Because our faith fails. Our faith fails. The only difference in Peter and Judas, Christ prayed for Peter. Christ prayed for Peter. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I need him to pray for me. Right now, I need him to pray for me, or I'm a goner. If my hope of eternal rest relies on my faithfulness, my faith, you can write me off right now. You can write me off. Our hope of finding rest before God in that day is not because of our faithfulness. Praise God, it's not because of our faithfulness, but because of His faithfulness. We just read, faithful is he that calleth you who also do it. He is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Back in our text, Matthew 26, look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Here's what we're to do. Sit ye here. Sit down. The Lord must sit us down. This is His work. This is His work. He must do this alone. Verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I don't know what all this means, but I know this. He took our sins and our sorrows and he made them his very own. He made them his very own. The sinless one, the spotless Lamb of God, took the full weight of our sin and our guilt, and he carried it on his back by himself. Look at verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. And watch with me. His soul became exceeding sorrowful unto death. As our substitute, he felt, and I can't begin to enter into this, but he felt the full weight and guilt of our sin. He felt it. He felt it. How could he feel such a thing? I don't know, but he felt it. Turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I mentioned all the Psalms speak of Christ. In this Psalm, verse 7, he said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. This is Christ. Well, look at verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. How in the world could Christ say such a thing? Because he died as our substitute. God did not merely charge him with our sin. He was made sin. Turn over to Lamentations. After Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 1. If Christ was merely charged with our sin but didn't feel anything, these scriptures would mean nothing. I just don't understand how these scriptures could be. Christ was made sin and he felt our sin. Look here in Lamentations 1 verse 12. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. That's Christ. That's Christ. The Lord afflicted him in the day of his fierce anger. As he hung there on the cross, all these people were passing by. And to most of them, it was nothing to them. Unless God causes us to behold the glory and the beauty of Christ crucified, it will be nothing to us. But I'm here to say this is everything to me. Had Christ not suffered, I must suffer. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Look back in our text. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What did the man of sorrows do? He prayed to his Father. What do we do in time of sorrow, time of trouble? I feel like the last thing we do is what we ought to do. Let's go to our Father. He's given us access to the Father. Christ prayed to the Father, he fell on his face. Now, I can understand you and me falling on our faces. But this is glorious to me that Christ, the Son of God, fell on his face. God fell on his face before God. How much more ought we to fall on our face before God? He prayed, if it be possible. Now hold on. I thought with God all things are possible. How is he then praying, if it be possible? Because it was not possible. It was not possible that this cup could pass from him. Because it is written. It is written. God will provide himself a lamb. Christ is the lamb. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. This must come to pass. His hour was come. Though this request was impossible, I want us to be sure we notice the Father still heard his prayer. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. The end of verse 39, he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He prayed, "Thy will be done." And what we need to see here is why he was praying for this. He wasn't praying. He did not wish that it would not happen. That's why he came into the world. This is to show us that he really suffered. He really felt it all. He really was made sin. All of this really happened to him. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That is so true. Oh, that's so true. Our flesh is so weak. You remember what Paul said after the Lord's Day 10 in Romans 7 when he talked about, "To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." That I would, I do not. That I would not, that I do. This flesh is so weak. And it's good for us to be reminded of that. The disciples had one command. Sit and watch. How hard is that? How weak are we? Sit and watch. Sit and watch. Without Christ, brethren, we can do nothing. I mean nothing. If we can't sit and watch, what in the world can we do? We can do nothing. That's why we sing this song. My faith looks up to thee. Doesn't look at ourselves. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. One of my favorite songs. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. People might as well sing, "Great is my faithfulness," mightn't they? Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He prayed again the second time, knowing, he knew, this cup is not going to pass from me. It's not going to happen. Turn over to Luke again, Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What's the significance of this? What Christ endured was so, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." The things which he suffered did this to him. He, being made sin for us, being made a curse for us, becoming us, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And that was not just any blood that was falling to the ground. That's the precious blood of Christ, the price of our redemption. The weight of our sin did that to him. And I'm amazed that we're told an angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him. You know, Christ is referred to as the angel of the Lord. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the strength of the Lord. And yet here, an angel appeared to him, strengthening him. Oh, how he suffered. Oh, how he suffered. Look back at our text. Verse 43. "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." The disciples fell asleep again. Again. Their eyes were heavy. Again, we see their weakness, don't we? Our sin is heavy. It easily besets us. But moments ago, we read that Christ, that his soul was becoming heavy because he took that sin from us and put it on himself. Here, he kept on praying. He prayed the third time. But I want to make sure we see this. Christ was not praying for himself. You know that? It, from what we've read, it appears that he's praying for himself, doesn't it? He wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for his people. He was praying for his people. John 17:9, "I pray for them which thou hast given me." Shortly after this, Peter, they would take the Lord, and Peter would take out his sword and try to cut off a man's head. He got his ear. And this is what our Lord said to him. He said, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And he wasn't trying to get out of this. "Shall I not drink it?" Soon thereafter, he would pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Does that give you hope? "Father, forgive them." Not long after that, he prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We must see that the only way we could possibly be forgiven is by the Lord Jesus Christ being forsaken. It's the only way. It's the only way a sinner can be forgiven by holy God. Look with me in Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 9. Again, this is Christ. "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Christ suffered a hell for his people. But he didn't stay there. He did not stay there. He rose again. And that's where we find rest, in what Christ accomplished. Look back at our text one more time. The disciples had fallen asleep again. The Lord went and prayed a third time. Verse 45, Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. I've got this. Sleep on. And take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. What a gracious command. Rest. You know what the gospel declares? Rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Praise God. We can rest. His commandments are not grievous, are they? We're the dead bones. He commands us to live and we live. He commands us to rest and we rest. What a gracious God we have. Turn over back a few pages to Matthew 11. Familiar verse. Matthew 11, 28. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you need rest? There's no other rest. There's no other rest. You know what we'd be wise to do? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed on thee. I pray God would stay our minds on Christ and the things that he accomplished. Here's a few reasons we can rest. His faithfulness, not ours. His works, his wonderful works, not ours. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief. Rest. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. We are forgiven. You know what we can do? Rest. Rest. They're all taken away. Rest. He cried, it is finished. If that don't make you rest, I don't know what will. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. The battle's not ours. It's the Lord's, and it's finished. When he rose the third day from the grave, you know what that said? God is satisfied. God is well pleased with the sacrifice of his Son, and he's well pleased with us in him. It is finished. If that does not give you peace and rest, nothing will. Nothing will. Christ is all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Praise God, he washed it white as snow. Amen.